Portland, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is Monday, Memorial Day. We're here. We're live coming up at the bottom of the hour. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roof will be here to ruminate on the life, career, and passing of Mr. Paul Gleason. What else? We got Aaron Duran, Geek in the City, coming up next hour. Scotty J's Man of the Street. I got two top fives. I'm unclear about which one we should go with here. I've got them all prepared. I got them all listed out. I got all the cuts prepared. I just don't know which one to go with. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show the original Harry Scary Guy, Clyde Lewis, out to Brunswick. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You're looking great today.
Thank you.
You got like the camel hair jacket going on.
Actually, it's cashmere.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. What is the difference? Is it when they talk about something being camel hair? That's not really camel hair, is it?
I don't know. I've never worn camel hair.
It's in reference to the color.
Okay, this is like that Arlington thing again, where just as the words left my mouth, I had no idea. Here's another thing. I don't really know what an alpaca is.
Alpaca?
I hear, like, you know, you should really get into alpaca farming. That's where the money is. I have no idea what that even means.
I don't even know what alpaca is.
Do you know what an alpaca is?
No, I don't know what an alpaca is.
I couldn't.
A ferret? What?
I don't know. It's like an emu. I don't know what an emu is.
Oh, emus. You don't know what an emu is?
Not a clue.
Emu is kind of like an ostrich. But it's kind of like the bastard child of the ostriches. It's you know.
It's the shemp of the ostrich world.
It is.
World.
It's like the wings and stuff are not as. I mean, they kind of look like homeless ostriches.
Okay, here's what Clyde just did. Clyde just like put his hands up to his nipples as though he were a thalidomide baby, and said, "The wings and stuff are not as," and then just sort of waggled them, and then that was it. Like that was the explanation, as though I was supposed to go, "No, it's all so clear to me now. I understand."
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. No,
tell me more about the emus, Daddy.
Have you ever seen that guy? Back when I was a kid, there was this guy that used to do this. He was a British guy.
Back when I was a kid.
His name was. He did this like puppet called an emu, and the emu would attack him. It was. The emu would attack him. It used to be on like this show called the Hudson Brothers.
Right.
You know,
back when there was only three channels.
When the Hudsons, I guess the Hudsons are from Oregon or something.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know what I'm talking about either. Actually, I mean, I'm hungover.
How much was popcorn when he went to the movies?
Back when I was a kid.
Yeah.
75 cents.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, back then.
Double feature on a Saturday.
We used to do Go Ape when we were kids. All the Planet of the Apes back to back, and for a buck you get a hot dog, popcorn, and a banana, and you're pretty damn hip. So yeah, that's what happened when I was a kid. Back when I was a boy.
No, seriously.
Beverage Farm remembers.
Yeah. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when your uncle used to ask you to parade around in that tutu? And he used to
Do you remember when Daddy would lose money at poker and so he'd give you to his friends for a weekend instead?
Do you remember?
Do you remember after Mommy passed away and Daddy needed special comforting? You may not remember.
But Pepperidge Farm does. This repressed memory brought to you by Pepperidge Farm and the Rick Emerson Show.
A little blast from the past.
Yes, exactly.
Glenn and I used to do a kooky, zany morning show.
We did a morning show together. It was very offensive and very, very interesting.
Yeah. No, I'm going to do this contest. I don't have anything to give away today, so don't call. If I'd had time, I would have done this on Friday, but Friday was a very odd program. Friday's program just blew apart in midair. Yeah.
Steven Seagal?
I was going to give away Steven Seagal tickets. I did, actually. I didn't have time to do it a good time. But I'm going to do this up contest called the When I Was a Boy. And the deal is, we will have people call in. And it's like, I'm going to give you a subject, like video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Sarah will play the music, and you'll have to talk. You'll have to freestyle it.
When I was a boy.
Yes, and you will have to, for 60 seconds, you have to freestyle.
We used to play Pong, and we liked it.
Let's test. Do you want to test it? Okay,
sure.
Clyde?
You test it on me?
Okay, you got to talk about video games for 60 seconds, and it's got to start with the phrase, when I was a boy, go.
When I was a boy, I used to go to the thrifty drugstore, and there was a Pong game. And I remember every time I couldn't put my quarter in the Pong game because the thing was full. They would not empty it. And I always complained to the guy, please, please, empty the Pong game so I may play a game of Pong. I wasn't very good at it, but it didn't matter. I was playing Pong, and I liked it, and it was fun. I also got a double scoop of strawberry and chocolate chip ice cream while I was waiting for the idiot to unload the quarters in the Pong game.
30 seconds.
The Pong game was a lot of fun. It was just a little blip going back and forth. And then I eventually broke down and bought my own homemade Pong game, which was not a real Pong game. It was kind of like a spring catch etch-a-sketch type thing, and it was really stupid. So that's what I did when I was a boy playing video games. For the first... How many seconds?
Another 15 seconds here.
Oh, and I also...
See? It's not easy.
It's not easy, is it?
There you go. So
well,
you
Pong
would not
is
have
not
won.
Interesting. Pong is not
I didn't say Pong. I said video games.
Well, I mean, that's the only video games I had when I was a boy was Pong. And then we actually grew up and decided to, you know, we used to always go into the Magnavox store and play their stupid little games that they used to have there, too.
All right. It's 503-733-297. Look at this. Line one. Wants to play the game. I have nothing to give away. Do I have anything to...
No, we really don't.
Give away the Sky Mall catalog. Give away my pocket change. All right. Okay. So, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, I don't know what an emu is, nor do I know what an alpaca is. But here in the Sky Mall catalog, look at this. Solar-powered mole repeller.
What is it?
It looks like a giant golf tee.
Is that like a mole remover?
No, it's a mole repeller, but it's solar-powered.
The animals.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Also, look at this. They've got these shoes. They're like golf shoes, but they've
got
6-inch. They got like 6-inch spikes, and so you aerate your lawn is as easy as taking a walk. Who buys these things?
Idiots.
All right. Have you ever bought anything from the Sky Mall catalog?
No, I haven't.
It's my goal today to find someone who's purchased something for the Sky Mall catalog.
No.
All right. Here's what we got to do. I'm going to take these calls, and I got these emails. We're going to talk about the horns across the Hawthorne. You seen the logo for that?
Have you heard what's going on with you? I don't know if you've heard this. I mean, I'm giving the underground scoop about Rick Emerson, Horns Across the Hawthorne.
Great.
There are a group of witches and a group of pagans. They are all against you, and they're going to go and they're going to bless the Hawthorne Bridge before you even attack it. I have been getting...
I'm not attacking the bridge. We are celebrating the bridge.
No. They think that you're going to go and they think that the wrath of...
It's a goof.
The goddess or Odin or whomever is going to come down and basically put a big stink on your parade. And they are writing me and saying, Clyde, you have
parade.
To stop this. And I said, why would I stop it? I'm just as evil
you're
as the next
part
guy.
Of it. No, you got to be there.
How
you
am I
going to
be there? I got to be with the students on that day.
It's it. Oh, that's
what,
true.
What are you doing? It's 6
off.
O'clock?
6:06 p.m.
I take days off to come be on this show.
6:06 p.m.
And if my boss knew it, he'd kill me.
You're telling me that you can't be there by 6:06?
I've got 6:66 party to throw at Dante's after your show.
Dude, we're going to Dante's.
We are cross-promoting you, Clyde. Why do you think we're ending up at Dante's? Come on.
Come on!
I guess I could be sick on that day. But no one needs to know that.
This is us trying to help you. Like, you try to help us. This is us bringing the people to your event.
Okay, well, if we're like in a coincide events here, well, I probably am going to have to be there.
Okay. Son of a bitch. We're giving you all of this promotion.
Yeah, but...
Look, here's the thing. Now, Jason,
my students need me!
Bastard. Now, Jason Crump, who is photographing this out of the goodness of his heart...
Good.
He and I scouted locations yesterday for the Horns Across the Hawthorne thing. So here's the deal.
Okay.
Everybody's been asking what the deal is. And even Sarah and I, you know, was a little... You know, I didn't really lay it out, but... It's like, you know, you see those photographs of, like, here's a special day, here's Armistice Day, and here's a photograph of VJ Day, or whatever, and it's like, here's a sailor, you know, sexually assaulting a woman in Times Square. Remember those days? You know, it's like all of those...
I was a boy.
All of those photos we've seen where it's like some woman's just walking down the street, and, like, the sailor who just got off the boat is all like, hurrah!
He's kissing a goat.
And then we look back, but because it's 50 years ago, isn't that sweet?
Aww.
Yeah,
she didn't even see him coming, you know? And so, we're going to create one of those photos.
Right.
We are going to create a photo, and it's going to be everybody lining the Hawthorne Bridge, the north side, little pedestrian path across the bridge. Everybody's going to line up, and then at 6:06, devil horns, take the photo, and then it's a moment captured forever.
Right.
Because that's a moment that only comes once a century.
Well,
I think that's a great idea.
It's going to be, and then we're going to go to Dante's. Everybody's, you know, and there's going to be libations.
And then, what do you know, Clyde Lewis is on right after us after we get there.
We have a pentagram of prizes to spin.
I heard about that. That's going to be awesome.
I cannot believe you're siding with the witches. And
no,
the...
I'm not. I'm totally neutral on this.
Somebody's too good to come to our
events. I hang out with Rex Church. I hang out with all the witches. I hang out with everybody. But, you know, I got to be pretty neutral about it. And I will do the devil horns with you.
You don't need to be neutral. Have those witches been there for you for 10 years? Do you know them?
Have those witches worked alongside you for 12 years, Clyde Lewis?
12 years?
No.
Giving you countless rides home from work?
No.
Did those witches let you live at their house for 6 months?
Well, witches... No, they haven't.
All right, then.
Witches need to represent, though. I mean, if the witches...
I think you're just scared of them.
No, I'm not scared of the witches at all. The witches are the ones that are angry at me because they think I'm going to condone this. And I said, look, it's just horns across the Hawthorne. It's not a big deal. The witches are freaking out, man.
Do they have like a blog or something?
The witch's blog?
Witch blog.
I don't know. I've been thinking of really, really cool names to call this anyway. And I was like, you know what this is? This is the anti-Christmas party. It really is. I mean,
It's not an anti... What are you, high? This
no!
Is not an
anti-Christmas
party.
It's almost exactly opposite.
It's opposite as Christmas because it only comes once...
It's just a kooky heavy metal thing.
Well, no, it's
not. It's a gag.
666. The devil's
area.
You know,
honey, you're not messing with heavy metal. You're messing with the devil.
You're messing with the devil, dude.
The devil.
Yeah. You,
okay.
I mean, you need to
what,
understand.
What, is Gene Dixon going to come down on my head?
No. I mean,
you
I mess with the devil.
You're toying with dark forces.
You're toying with the dark side of the force.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. I really believe you.
You should. Uh-huh. You've seen it enough in my life.
Is Dina DeCastro going to kneecap me outside, huh?
Is Dina one of the angry witches?
No, Dina's not a witch. She's an astrologer.
She's a good witch.
Maybe
okay.
Dina... Maybe Dina should call in, and maybe she should tell us if there's any
significance. I'm the good witch, Dina!
She's great. Dina DeCastro.
All right. Whatever. Let me... whatever you say. Let me read this email. Listen to this. Geek slap fight continues. Here we go again. This is from Todd the Corpse.
Come on.
Rick, please give my sincerest apologies to our dear friend, Geekmaster Aaron. Truth be told, I know next to nothing about the gripping greatness of Dungeons & Dragons because I was too busy having my own life to vicariously live through mutant mongoloid elfin warlocks or whatever has a +5 sword fury power. Again, sincerest apologies. Hopefully the sounds of that 20-sided die rolling on the counters of the radio station will raise that time spent listening you're looking for. And I'll take the Wesley Crusher joke. His first on-screen kiss was with Ashley Judd. I can't recall the character on Enterprise that was the one who stayed in his own quarters playing space chess alone instead of mingling with the rest of the crew, but I don't think he ever saw much action.
Wasn't her name Utah?
I'm just saying.
I think it was.
Todd the Corpse.
Her name was Utah. Okay. That was her first kiss.
Okay.
His first kiss.
All right. Coming up later on, we got the several reviews now of Steven Seagal.
This just in. X-ray of duck shows image of alien in stomach. Somebody had...
Stop it.
There's an alien.
Stop it now.
An alien in a
Stop.
Duck's stomach.
For the love of Jesus.
Oh, my God. Look at that. You see the alien Stop. In the duck's stomach?
Stop it.
It's crazy.
Stop it.
Aliens are coming.
I'll punish you.
It looks like a, ball.
I swear to God, I'll punish you.
It's an alien balloon. He swallowed it.
We built this stomach.
This was in my head all weekend, by the way. You know what was in my head? It was the little bridge that, Living the ways of being in the Green Apron book all weekend was in my head.
Can I ask a question? Is anyone... Oh, this is horrible. This is worse than...
You
go
know,
ahead.
Whitney Houston. Clive is right. This is a doctor, and he's saying it's a tiny alien in its belly.
No one knows what you're talking about because no one's in the studio with
well, okay.
us, and this is a radio program.
But let me ask you a question of your audience, your listeners, your
Whatever.
Peeps. I saw a commercial the other day that really troubled me. It was about a calico guinea pig eating the kidney out of a guy who's in bed, and the calico
what are you talking
guinea
about?
Pig is talking to the guy. It was kind of like Son of Sam. He said, watch this,
this
TV
is like
show,
bad, evil
or I'll eat out
poetry.
Your other kidney, he says. I will eat out your other kidney. And he's laying there, and his kidney is missing.
We built this stomach.
It's worse. I don't know. Okay.
I don't get it.
You don't get it. Boy, it's creepy, believe me. Creepier than this.
Okay.
We need to break.
But we have to talk about your car accident. We'll do it when we come back.
I'm depressed.
Aliens, ducks, Starbucks, and guinea pigs who eat kidneys. What else do you get on a radio show? I think it's great.
We'll be back. We'll just take this to break, Sarah.
Sure.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Clyde Lewis.
Say you won't slow
I hit the post inadvertently. We'll tell you about Sarah's car accident when we get back. Say there. It's live. It's Memorial Day. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Know how we grew to this kind of place. Knee deep in the mocha, making coffee right. So many partners.
I got more emu and alpaca email than you could possibly imagine. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Memorial Day. We're here. We are live because Rick Emerson cares. In the studio with us, of course, Sarah Dillon, Clyde Lewis, Tim Riley back with the City Desk here in a few. Scotty J, a man in the phones later on. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, Jim Roop, et cetera. All right. I believe that's Jim Roop calling right there. I got emails. I got phone calls. We got to talk about Sarah's car. Sarah, in what order do you think we should approach these various and sundry items today?
Well, if Roop's on the phone, we should probably take him first.
All right. Is this, this is, I believe, Jim Roop. Ladies and gentlemen, from Los Angeles, the city of Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you, my friend. How goes life in the City of Angels today?
It's absolutely beautiful.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the weather's perfect. People are idiots. I got a great job.
It's fantastic weather, and you're surrounded by pinheads and fools.
That's what keeps me employed.
That's what I'm saying right there. How you feeling? Like you got a little bit of a head cold going on.
I have something going on, yes.
Now, there's that. What is that virus going around? The
bird flu?
No. No, it's not that. It's the Norberg?
Norwalk.
Norwalk, yeah, and it just liquefies your insides. Don't get that.
I won't, man.
That's what you say now. This is like that, you know, this is like that movie where you're like, yeah, I'm getting out of the military in 2 days. This is my girl back home. And then, you know, shot in the head.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, this is no good. That Norwalk virus, my wife is telling me all about it. She works with the old people. And, of course, you know, the infections just come with those old people. It's just like flies on a rib roast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was some sales guy in the other building that they thought had it. And apparently when you get that Norwalk virus, it is everything between your neck and your buttocks. Everything in the midsection of your body literally just turns to goo. And then it's a whole lot of, like, 3 days of, like, calling in and pretending that you have a fever. And that's why you can't come in.
Oh, wow.
So try to avoid contracting that if you can.
I will do my best, I promise.
Hey, the bad news is that Paul Gleason is dead.
Yeah.
And we are, that's one of those, he's one of those guys that you don't really think about him. You don't see him on award shows. You don't think to go look at his star on the Walk of Fame. But, man, you know, you turn on any movie on Turner, you know, between like 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. and you're going to see him.
Well, yeah, he's one of those guys that make the movies the movies. I mean, yeah, it's great to have your stars, but it's guys like Gleason who really, you know, create, you know, characters that make the movie just memorable. Like the Principal Vernon in Breakfast Club, or like, you know, Beaks in Trading Places. He's just a great guy.
And we were talking about him and this guy, William Atherton, who played the jerky guy from the EPA in Ghostbusters. They were part of that same sort of, I described him as the bureaucratic, officious jerk. You know, that was what he did better than anything else.
Absolutely.
And he died of, what is it, he died of?
Mesothelioma.
What the hell is that?
It's a rare form of lung cancer that is really associated with asbestos. And so you have to wonder what he was exposed to all those years.
Seriously.
But, it's called mesothelioma.
I always wonder about that with musicians and especially rock stars. Like, I think about rock stars who were sitting on stage, especially during the 70s, breathing in pyrotechnics and smoke and dry ice and fog. You know, for 15 years, and that's got to be. If you're on a movie set and you're breathing in special effects smoke and all of that, that's got to take a toll on you after a while.
Oh, I'm sure. But yeah. I mean, what movies was he in that was really a factor?
Just Die Hard, I guess. I guess that's the only one I can really think of.
Yeah,
he was done. Hey, Die Hard. You know, I was actually the last time I was in L.A. That was actually one of the highlights of my trip. Is I actually got to see that building that was Nakatomi Plaza in Die Hard. So there you go. So Paul Gleason, he again is one of those guys that won't be remembered, by a lot of people. He won't be. There won't be any touching, stirring tributes on late night TV to him. But to everybody in my generation, that's a guy that really made an indelible mark, man. I mean, he captured that guy. So
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it's a shame that when he did die, there wasn't a whole lot of obits going on television. In fact, it wasn't even a big deal in a weekend where there wasn't a whole lot of news anyway because of the holiday weekend that it is. He still didn't get a lot of play yet.
You know what he is? Paul Gleason is one of those guys when the Oscars roll around and they do that dead parade about halfway through, he's going to be right in the middle.
And people are going to go, what?
Yeah, no, sir. Because, you know, like this is when the Oscars happen. This is always the thing I like to watch. The ebb and flow and cresting and troughing in the in memoriam dead parade when they do the whole montage of people who've died. Because a little game that I play with my wife is who are they going to end with? Because they always end with the highest profile dead celebrity of the year.
Yeah.
And so I believe next year it'll be Don Knotts.
James Doohan didn't end up in any tribute.
Really?
When he died. No.
No, he didn't either. You're right.
No, no one cared about Scotty. He got beamed up. No one cared. Really.
You've just been waiting to say that. Yeah. It is not a world of men. All right, Jim Rube, are you going to be barbecuing pieces of meat today?
Actually, you know, I'm heading. I did that yesterday. I'm heading down to the Angels and Twins game today.
Yeah. All right, then. Hey, by the way, let me just give you a little shout-out via you to my man Bob Costantini, who was in for Lisa Goddard today.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's a machine. He's fantastic. You get a chance, you put a good word in for him with whoever.
Oh, I promise I will.
All right. Jim Roop, enjoy the rest of your holiday today. Enjoy the game. We will talk to you this week, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir, and I'll stay away from Norwalk.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you go. Bye-bye. There's Jim Roop there in Los Angeles. All right. Let's see. I don't even know who these phone calls are anymore. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How can I help you today?
Hey, listen, those witches and pagans are full of it.
No.
I got to tell you.
No, really? I thought
it was... I got to tell you. And Clyde knows this.
I thought it was all scientific fact.
Listen to me. The horn.
Yeah,
The horn is an ancient pagan symbol for the male essence of the god.
God, here we go.
You're not dissing their goddess. You're celebrating their god.
Really? It's just a thing I do because Gene Simmons used to do it in between banging groupies.
Oh, I know that, too. But they obviously don't know their own symbol.
It's all a bunch of made-up
crap. It's the Cornu symbol, and it's the symbol of the Twin Towers, ladies and gentlemen. It is.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah, okay.
That makes more sense. All right, thank you, sir.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're done. Okay. It's 503-733-2970.
Any witches want to debate that?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they do not. They don't. Let's not debate it now. All right, so Tim's going to be here. We'll do the City Desk here in a few. I got the emails to play. Aaron's going to be here later on. I got two reviews of Steven Seagal. We've got Marissa, who we gave tickets to. She's going to call in and her whole thing was trying to get somebody to heckle Seagal. We'll find out if that was successful. Let me read this, though. I have this text review of the Seagal concert. This is from our good friend Siegfried. Rick, for Mr. Seagal... Time has been a bitch, and it's not just that he's chubby and I have a George Lucas chin. No, he now resembles a potato with an Easter Island statue ham head. I never knew a man could wear a tan sensei muumuu with a wife beater. Even a deranged Marlon Brando would never attempt that. But let's clear the stage. Imagine a tan white man standing with seven black performers behind him. The seven performers would play for about 5 minutes before Mr. Seagal would enter. He would do a slight Buddhist bow with cupped hands like he was sneezing and then play. But the whole time, I never saw him play a note that I could actually hear. It was like they turned off the guitar, Linda McCartney style. Even when he introduced the band in the middle of the show, in his solo, he just pointed to another bandmate. Let me be clear about this. He was air guitaring the entire night. He'd sing, but it was okay. He'd get in a moment where he would sing into the mic, and it was like watching a mutilated bobblehead doll. But it was nothing like him playing the guitar. The guitar was resting on his stomach like it was an ottoman, and his guitar strap was so tight to his neck it was like watching a potato with T-Rex arms playing the zither. And when he moved across the stage, he would slam his waist, but it just looked like a blow-up. But it just looked like a blow-up punch doll with a stroke face. I prayed silently to myself that someone would actually throw something at him, but it didn't happen. I have never seen a performer who had no stage presence whatsoever. He would have his huge black backup singer, who was built like a bouncer, do the crowd work. He would frighten people into clapping. It was actually kind of scary. Mr. Seagal, or as he now likes to be called, Mr. Mojo, seems to be galactically and globally confused as to what he is. Is he Asian? Is he an Indian? Well, now Mr. Seagal believes he is a southern black man. During the time he introduced the band, he sounded more black than Terrence Howard from Hustle and Flow. He was talking jive. This is a white man, remember? When he started talking... You would look around at the audience with a kind of dog-tilted head look. It was all very surreal. But then it just became sad. The band he had was actually good, but I have no idea why they're playing with Steven Seagal. It was like the band had to serve some bizarre artistic prison sentence. But the sadness was when he left the stage, no one clapped for him to come out again for curtain call. There was about 5 minutes of painful quiet before he came back out. Then he just walked off stage again before the song was done, did a small Buddha bow and left, with the rest of the band confused, playing the rest of the song without him, and then sadly unplugging and packing up and wandering off in various directions. It was sad, but oh, so good. Oh, Mr. Mojo. Dear, sad Mr. Mojo. All right, there you go. That's it's a review of the concert from...
Oh, it's so sad.
From Siegfried.
Such All a right. sad thing.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, before we do the City Desk thing, we should talk. I don't want to be like we're just dragging this out for cruel radio purposes. So,
cruel life purposes.
All right,
for
so this weekend I did a whole lot of nothing. I just did a whole lot of sitting around. and just lazing about, as my mom would say. You had kind of a, you went out and did stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
Followed, and then, because you didn't have to work at Coin this morning.
Yeah, I went to a wedding on Saturday night. That was so much fun.
And because there was a free bar?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was open bar. No, but not just that. It was just fancy, and the food was great, and there was a really good singer. And
I don't know.
It was Brad the Car Guy who got married.
I don't know exactly how freely the booze was flowing, but I do know that my voicemail filled up with several... overtly.
And they weren't from me. People kept taking my cell phone because they know I have your phone number. And everyone's like, you have Rick Emerson's cell phone number.
I'm going to call him right now.
So I set my purse down. Phone was gone for like a half an hour. Come back.
I quit answering it after the first one because I realized it wasn't you. Like, it rang at one point, and I'm like, you know, because you have your own phone ring. There's very few people in my cell phone that have their own phone ring.
Ooh.
Clyde does.
Ghostbusters.
You do. You have Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf. And then, like, there's a couple stock settings for everybody else. Like, everybody else that I work with has Spirit of Radio by Rush, which is cheesy, but it's the only radio song I could find. So they all have that. And then everybody else, Aaron has one. Lara has one. And then everybody else is just King of Rock by Run DMC. And so, like, Bat Out of Hell rings, and I'm like, it's Sarah Dillon. Maybe she needs my assistance of some kind. And I answer it, and it's just... like, you can tell it was almost like they dialed it by accident. Like, did you ever get that where there's no one really talking? It's just a whole lot of woo in the background. It's like no sound at all. And I'm like, well, she must have just sat on the phone or something. I hang it up again. And then it rings like three more times in rapid succession. And at a certain point, I just quit answering it because I figured out that someone else or some group of people had taken your phone from you. And it was not you calling. And then I just check all the messages later. And this, I know some of you all have been this guy. Because there's a combination of me being tired, me having to get some work done, and then some other sort of things happening that I had to attend to this weekend. And so I did not go to the wedding. And it's not that we love Brad and all, but I just ended up not going.
You missed out. It was very fancy.
I ended up being around the house for a lot of the weekend for a lot of reasons. But you've all been this guy where there's a party happening that you've been invited to. You have not gone for whatever reason. And at a certain point at night, usually around 11 o'clock, everybody decides that they are just going to call you repeatedly until your will breaks and they can make you come. You know what I mean? So they can make you attend the party. And you know, and you know just to let the answering machine get it after like the second one. So I check my voicemail later, and I will be suitably circumspect about this.
Oh, okay.
But there was just a whole series of very explicitly homoerotic messages left on my voicemail.
Oh, I hung out with Byron too.
By some, and they were, and it was not from Byron,
from
by
Byron,
the way. Because those wouldn't even be latently homoerotic. Those would just be gay.
Yeah, Byron spent the whole night grabbing my butt.
Well, he's a gay man. He can get away with it. It's like that gay guy that grabbed. It's like that gay guy that was groping Scarlett Johansson at the Oscars?
Yeah, Isaac Mizrahi.
He makes dog clothing that sells for like $300.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that guy. That's where you can make the money at.
When I had dinner with Byron, he was pretty persuasive. So I don't know. He seems to be a really persuasive guy type thing. Never mind. Back to the show.
You were out with his partner.
Did he persuade you to do?
Well, he was kind of hitting on me, I think. And it was kind of weird.
Have you seen his partner?
No, I haven't.
He is a beautiful man.
He's a spicy Latin lover?
Yeah.
That was before he had a partner, I think.
No, he's been with the same guy.
They've been together 11 years.
I mean, this is not private information. He knows, because he's a columnist.
He writes about it. Yeah.
So this is a known thing. We're not giving away secrets, but he's been with the same man for quite some time. Now, what do you mean?
He was trying to convince me that I was gay.
No. You said two phrases in rapid succession.
He was very persuasive. He was trying to convince me that I was gay.
No. But the phrases you used were he was hitting on me.
I felt like he was hitting on me.
Coupled with he was very persuasive. What does that mean exactly?
I thought he was hitting on me. I just thought, yeah, he was very persuasive.
Seems but like, what do you mean when you say he was very persuasive?
He's very good with the voice, good with the words. He's Byron Beck. He can get away with it.
What was he trying to persuade you?
I don't know
about.
What he was. He wasn't persuading me to do anything that I wouldn't do anyway. But I just said.
Well, I don't know. Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know. I am not going to talk about this anymore. Because I will be probably a subject in this column. I don't want to be a subject in this column.
I'm not trying to imply anything. I'm merely asking you to explicate.
I was having dinner with a bunch of Tri-City folk without you there.
Okay.
And I didn't know that Byron knew a mutual friend of ours.
Mimi.
Yes. And so we were there and we were eating Thai food and we were just talking about...
So was he trying to persuade you...
into thinking that I was gay. And
so he was trying to persuade you to broaden your horizons a little bit?
That's what it seemed like, yeah.
And when you say he was very persuasive...
I just... You know, he was pretty persuasive.
He had some good points, things you hadn't considered?
Yeah, some things I hadn't considered.
He brought... He brought. He had some strong arguments in favor of it.
You know, when things
are you going to be like that guy?
Dry, you know, you're wondering. Well,
is that going to be the thing where, like, on MySpace, your orientation suddenly changes to not sure?
No. That didn't happen. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of gay friends, but he just seemed to be, you know, pretty persuasive.
The not sure thing on MySpace is puzzling to me. I mean, because if you go to MySpace, you have the straight, gay, bi. There is a bi setting, right?
Uh-huh.
Straight, gay, bi, and
not
then there's
sure.
one that's not sure, and that's the one that I don't understand. That seems like a... I don't understand what that's all about.
Well, you try anything once, probably.
Yeah, but it seems like that's a thing you'd either do, given the chance, or not. Again, I'm not passive. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But I'm saying, you know, if you're a woman, and you, like, you see another woman walk by, and you go, yeah... I'd hit that. And like that, you're no longer not sure. It seems like you are sure.
I was told by my friend Eric that, you know, having one gay sexual experience does not make you gay.
No.
That's what he told me.
But it makes you bisexual.
It makes you a hoe, basically.
It makes you a slut.
I don't think having one...
makes you a tramp.
Well, I mean, what, like kissing a guy one time?
Well, I don't think we're talking about kissing.
Oh. No.
We're talking about the full...
Full on, yeah.
Having the...
Full month.
Having the full sandwich.
Yeah. Mm.
Not just not just the salad.
They say guys have an experience once in their lives. I've never had one, and I don't
want
one.
Never mind.
What?
No, about Rick.
Oh,
what about me?
Everyone thinks that you need to get your one.
Is that why our friend kept calling my?
That's why, because I think they all had decided that you needed your one experience with a man under your belt before,
and they wanted to be him.
Yeah.
It feels so unfair that we're not saying who it is.
Why is it that every once in a while we talk gay stuff on the show? We bring up Byron Beck.
I don't know. Byron probably has an answer.
Because we're probably...
He probably has the answer.
Like I say, he's very persuasive. I mean, when guys start talking about this stuff, he says, well, it's because you guys have latent gay thoughts. You got to just experience it. That's what he says.
Listen to this one. Rick, I am one of those pagans that is concerned about your get-together at the Horns Over the Hawthorn on June 6th. Listen to this now. Portnoy, look, you know I have respect for all of my listeners. And you know I respect people of various belief systems.
Twigs. You've heard them. You were
even days. People who worship small rocks and stick bones through their nose. Portland is a strong source of psychic energy. And many people invoking a negative force on anything, and with that many people invoking a negative force, anything can happen. Signed, be careful, my friend. There you go. At what point is that tiny woman from Poltergeist going to start appearing? You know,
Tangina.
Yeah,
when you go to the light.
Your mother was very psychic, as I suspect are you. Oh wait, hold on. Now look. We should be very clear about what we're talking about here.
It's not Byron Beck.
It is not Byron Beck that we're talking about.
No.
There he is. And
nothing
again,
to do with him.
And I hate to be that guy where I'm doing the whole. It's like. When you read the gossip, it's like when you read Page Six, and they do that whole, I had lunch with a starlet who I cannot identify, but you would all know who she is, and she had heroin track marks all up and under her arm. I can't give her name, but you know who it is. And it's like, you're like, tell me! Jerk, tell me! So I don't want to be that, but there's a male acquaintance that we have who sent me several homoerotic messages over the weekend, and just sent me another one saying... Oh, this is a text. I think I might have drunk dialed you this weekend. Sorry about that. See, you can't just send a guy a bunch of weird homoerotic messages and be all like, oh, my bad, dude.
So the man in question, I was talking to him, and he is full on convinced. Are you ready for this?
Oh, please.
That you have a crush on him because he said that you winked at him one time at a poker game.
He has been claiming that forever. He has been claiming for the longest time that I winked at him during a poker game, which is like a complete fabrication. Because if I had winked at him in any context during the poker game, to tip off a strong hand, you make a joke, you wink at somebody,
yeah,
make a joke,
I mean,
I would admit it. I would totally admit if I had winked
at him. Kiss, kiss, hug, hug, no biggie. I mean, you know.
Well, okay, well, that's you. That's your bailiwick.
No, that's not my bailiwick.
I don't know where you grew up, but...
It's not my bailiwick.
Well,
oh,
this
come
show's
on.
Gone
well,
all strange. We never got to Sarah's
sudden.
Car thing. Okay, so here's the thing. And Tim's like 20 minutes late.
What do you think about
news?
Barry Bonds and his...
What do you think about that? What do you think about the baseball?
Barry Bonds, man. Babe Ruth. He beat the record.
Let's listen to some Motley Crue.
Let's do it.
Jesus.
Let's do something. Let's go kill something.
All right, hey, but look, listen to this segue. Listen to this. Okay, Scotty, you're saying line three, but there is no line three. I guess I'm just supposed to say this. Listen to this segue. Apparently, there's a car flipped over in Barbara Boulevard near the Safeway. So stay clear of that area. By the way, we are live on Memorial Day, so this is today. This is real news. There's a car flipped over on Barbara Boulevard near Safeway, so stay clear of that area. Sarah, you yourself had an automotive mishap this weekend.
I sure did.
Let's talk about it.
Why don't you tell? So you went to the wedding on Saturday, and then last night you were out with Jen Lane.
Yeah, I was out with Jen Lane. We went to a barbecue, and then we drove up to Sabala's.
Yes.
And got Rockstar parking on the side. I remember thinking how lucky I felt that we didn't have to park so far away. So we got a parking spot right on 49th, right next to the building.
Yes.
Went inside. We were in there for about 10 minutes. Just got a drink. I had about like a half a centimeter of my drink. Then all of a sudden, somebody comes running into the bar, and they're like, we're stopping serving. Everyone needs to get out of here. A car just crashed into the side of the building.
So you didn't hear the action, but they came in, and they said, like, there's been a big accident.
It's a really laid-back place, and they were all panicking. Like, everyone, get out, close your tabs, go home. So so we started wandering out, and we're like, oh, yeah, but poor sucker.
Poor bastard who got their car hit.
Yeah, and so I started walking. I'm like, wait a second. And they said that they had a car had run into another car, and then that one ran into the building. So went outside and I started panicking as soon as I'm like, what side of the building was it on? And they're like, oh, on the east side. And I'm like, oh, and I won't say what I said. And I just ran out the front door, went around the block, six cars out there. My car, about 20 feet from where it was parked, smashed into a pole.
So what happened? So to the best of their knowledge,
My car was parked parallel to the road. It was perpendicular to the road against a pole.
But a car was coming down the street, and did they swerve?
Coming down the street. They swerved across the lane. It looks like
into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, into oncoming traffic. They smashed my car, pushing it. My car slid literally about 20 feet, stopped at a pole, and then the clincher is that the people actually stopped their car, got out, and ran away on foot, leaving their car in the middle of the street.
Now, what kind of car was it that hit you?
It was a, I don't know, I was so panicked. It was a white Geo Metro.
So a couple of people, man and a woman, or
a couple, I had heard some witnesses said that they heard a couple screaming at each other, a black man and like a woman with long dark hair.
I told you shouldn't have been driving.
Yeah, they're screaming at each other, so I'm getting in the car, peel away, slam into my car. They hit the car in front of me too, but just the bumper.
So they're driving. One of them is driving. They slide into. This is last night on Powell.
On Hawthorne, rather.
What is it? 49th.
Yeah, 49th.
I only said it every day for a month. 49th and Hawthorne. So they cut across traffic in their Geo Metro. They slam into your Saturn. They total it.
They total it, yeah.
They get out of the car and they run.
They run. I came out and the Geo Metro, the front is all smashed up. Both of the doors are open. The key is still in the ignition. And they had just run down the street.
What were they thinking with running? Well, this is my supposition. I don't know anything about the people involved. But this would be my guess. That either A, it's not their car.
I know.
I mean, they borrow it, stole it, somebody gave it to them, it's their mom's, whatever. Or B, and or they are not insured.
Yeah, well, when I was talking to the cop last night, they said that it is registered to someone and not reported stolen.
But not them.
But it doesn't say. It's registered to an elderly Mexican couple, that's what I said, who are like 60.
Well, but it's like even if it wasn't reported stolen, that doesn't mean anything.
I'm hoping it's a family member.
Well, because it's like our truck was gone for 12 hours before the 4Runner got stolen from in front of my house. It was gone for half a day before we noticed it because, you know, how often, if you have a couple of vehicles, how often do you look down the street to make sure the other one hasn't been stolen?
Mm-hmm. The good news is if you sue well, you get a nice car.
Mm. Yeah.
I loved my car.
My neighbor, we had that happen to me a while ago. We're still in the court case. Some woman drunk hit a pole, two cars, and almost my kitchen, and she got a brand new car out of the deal. It's beautiful.
They hit your car and then just ran away.
They literally, on foot, ran away. And it was weird because there was a huge crowd of people. And it was really sketchy because I think a lot of people saw it happen, but for some reason I got the feeling that they knew who it was.
Right.
And they weren't saying anything.
It was really frustrating. Caught the people?
No, it was these two female cops, and, you know, and I'm kind of panicking, and I see this big group of people, all of them staring. I'm like, why don't you go and talk to them? You know, they know something. And anyway, they were just busy assessing the damage. They didn't go talk to these people.
But your car is destroyed.
My car is destroyed. I had it towed back to my house.
That's so sad.
That's sad. That sucks.
Yeah,
now I'm realizing how panicked you are.
It is. I mean, woe is me, whatever. I don't make that much money. That's my mode of transportation. Sucks.
There is nothing worse. I've said this before. It's like what you ever, if you lose your car keys or you lock your keys in the car. I mean, that's a minor thing, obviously. But that's one of those things where it's such a helpless feeling.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more helpless feeling than not having a car.
That's right.
Yep. And I have to get to Coyne tomorrow morning at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah, when you don't have a car, it is just the most helpless, worst feeling.
And when
you
someone
just feel
takes it away from you, I was just...
is so angry, and you just want, yeah, that's when you could really go and be beating some people
kill
with
people.
A club, yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah, the string of profanities that are in my mouth
all right.
last night. I was not a happy camper.
Let's see who this is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Yeah, this is Steve.
Hi, Steve, how can
Steve,
I help you today?
Hi, pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to tell Clyde, he was on to something with this Hudson story. This is the Hudson Brothers TV show. This is the ultimate washed-up has-been story in the world. Back in the 70s...
I don't even remember what we're talking about now.
I was talking about emus and the Hudson Brothers.
Oh, emus, okay.
Yeah, this is hysterical.
Yeah,
they were from Portland, and they had a TV show in the 70s. It was a really bad musical TV show.
Yeah, it was.
And they were a big hit back then, and the lead singer hooked up with Goldie Hawn. And Goldie Hawn had a daughter with him, who is now actress Kate Hudson. And now here we are, like 30 years later.
Because blah, 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 Kurt Russell, not her dad, da-da-da-da, Hudson is her dad. I had no idea that that was the connection, though.
Yes, and now here we are 30 years later. I guess they were bad alcoholics and stuff, and they're washed-up, fat, old alcoholics in Portland now.
Good times.
And Kate Hudson is on TV bad-mouthing them with Goldie Hawn and wants nothing to do with them.
Goldie Hawn's no one to be bad-mouthing anybody right now, by the way. I don't know if you've gone to Sarah's blog lately. Sarah, let's talk about that picture of Goldie Hawn. If you go to sarahxdillon.com, and don't get me wrong, I love Goldie Hawn. By all accounts, she's a very nice person. Boy, goddamn, is that the worst picture ever taken of an actress. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen
Sarah,
it.
Sarah, let's get Clyde's instant reaction. You should go over there, Clyde. Okay. You should walk over to the screen. We're going to get Clyde's instant reaction here.
One last quick question for Clyde, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clyde, do you remember the bionic watermelon on that bad Hudson Brothers show?
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Wasn't that stupid?
Okay. On my belt. All right. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my God. She looks like Yoda with long blonde hair.
That's what I'm saying.
Jeez, you spent... Hello, I'm a big fan.
Don't get me wrong, again...
That is bad. I thought she had collagen injections on her lips, but no.
I love Goldie Hawn, but that is the worst photograph.
Looks like she put alum on her lips.
You go to sarahxdillon.com, that photograph of Goldie Hawn is terrible. Hitting.
Well, have you seen the new picture of Faye Dunaway?
She looks like the Crypt Keeper. Oh, yeah.
She looks like
a puppet of herself.
Yeah, she looks like they stretch skin over a skull.
Yeah, she looks like... You know what she kind of looks like? Remember that old TV series, Madam's Place, with the wooden puppet?
Oh, yeah,
looks like Madam.
It was done by that was the same thing. The emu was kind of like Madam. Kind of.
She looks like an emu. Gone from emus Goldie Hawn to the emu.
Emus. Yeah.
Boy. I don't find this very amusing. We should, come on. Find it very amusing.
Amusing. I got it. I laughed a little.
Son of a bitch. That was funny.
I'm feeling it right here. Right in my throat.
Yeah.
I think it's coming. There. It's coming out. See? Never mind.
What are you talking about?
My laugh.
Okay.
What's going on?
I don't know. We have to break here.
The witches are already punishing you.
Yeah, okay. Tim's going to be up here after the break. We'll go to the city desk half an hour late. What else? Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran will be here.
Can I hang out?
No!
Nothing better to do.
So sad.
All right. I'm pretty bored.
We'll do that. We got Aaron Duran is going to be here. We got Scotty J's Man on the Street and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.